Pretty cool. Means the weekend is almost here. And I'm Bob Witte, by the way, your host here on Thursdays, North Idaho Thursday, we call it. Got an interesting show for you today. You know, we were doing local COVID-19 coverage during this noon hour for, gosh, almost 4 months. I was in here every day. You got sick of me. I know. I totally get it. But we thought it was important coverage. Last few weeks, I've kind of gotten away from it on Thursdays because there are other subjects to cover and other and trying to do things that were more cheery. But with the recent spike in COVID cases locally, I thought we'd take a look at what's been happening in our area in the past few weeks and where we're at as far as COVID is concerned here in North Idaho. So first off today, we'll be joined once again by Dr. Hans Hurt. He is an ER physician with Bonner General Health. And Dr. Hurt's been helping us out for months, and we look forward to talking to him today, a wealth of information, and get firsthand knowledge of what's happening here locally. And then in a little bit, we'll be joined by our good friend, Sandpoint High School Assistant Principal Athletic and Activities Director Chris Knowles. It's been the most challenging year so far dealing with public school situation and the virus. So today we'll be talking about what school may be looking like this fall semester. We don't know for sure, but there's some possibilities. And in particular, how this affect his main department, activities and fall sports, of course. And those fall sports, what they're doing to prepare this summer, what they can and can't do. So should be a very interesting program for you today. But before we get to that, a reminder about the new law that's gone into effect here in Idaho concerning talking on your cell phone while driving. As of yesterday, it's now an official no-no. If you hadn't heard that, you can talk and drive in a hands-off mode, hands-free mode, I guess they call it. But if you have that cell phone in your hand, either holding it up to your ear or even on speaker, you can get pulled over. So that could be happening. It's just a warning for the time being. And starting in January, you will be ticketed for doing that. It's just long overdue because it's just... there's no sense in doing it, and just every newer car comes with a Bluetooth speaker anyway, so just beware of that and start practice. You have 6 months to get used to it before you get ticketed. Things to do this weekend, if you're looking for something to do, I think it's going to be a great weekend up at Schweitzer Mountain Resort. It's supposed to be in the mid to upper 70s, maybe 80, starting tomorrow and then Saturday and Sunday. And they are open for their summer chairlift rides happening from 11 to 6 daily. So I think it'd be fairly easy to safe distance while doing a summer at Schweitzer. You can hike, bike, bring the family up for a picnic, take the chairlift to the top. It's really fun. And it's a great way to get some fresh air and great, great views of Sandpoint, Lake Pendere down below. So you wanna check that out. And you can go to Schweitzer.com for more information on all of that. Let's see, what else is going on? Oh, Farmers Market was back in Farman Park yesterday, but there are very few booths because it was pouring down rain. They are a bit back in the city parking lot on Saturday, and that's so it's much more room for them to safe distance between the booths. So that, and also Saturday, Bonner County History Museum's first free Saturday. So that's happening Saturday at the Bonner County History Museum. They've done a great job with the museum over there. And for more information, go to bonnercountyhistory.org, bonnercountyhistory.org. And it is free this Saturday from 10 until 2. So go by and check out anything new that's happening there. Well, what's happening here is we have Dr. Hans Hurt joining us from BGH. It's coming up in just a minute here. And after that, we'll have Chris Knowles from Sandpoint High School talked about what's going on there. And we'll get to all that right after this.
Hey, Northwest, it's back, it's bigger, and it's better than ever. It's the 4th of July sales event, and it's back, only at your local Northwest Ford dealer. It's bigger. Get huge savings on a new Ford. Choose from a massive selection of our incredible cars, trucks, and SUVs. That's right, during the 4th of July sales event, get big cash back. great lease offers and financing as low as 0%. And it's better than ever. This year, take your pick from the incredible 2020 Ford lineup, including the all-new Escape, the perfect SUV to get you around the city or out of it. Or check out the stylish new 2020 Ford Edge. And of course, Ford F-Series trucks, America's best-selling trucks for 43 years straight, are tougher than ever. The Ford 4th of July sales event. It's back, it's bigger, and it's better. But it won't last long. These exciting offers end soon. Hurry into your local Northwest Ford dealer before these deals are gone for good. Claim based on 2019 calendar year sales.
Hey, it's the Raptors from Triple Play. So Stan, guess what?
Oh, tell me.
Triple Play is now open.
Yeah, woo! I am so happy. Wait. We've been closed.
Buddy, that's why you're quarantined at home.
I thought I was on staycation.
Triple Play is now open, with new measures to make sure you're having fun and able to maintain social distancing.
Yeah, like no high fives.
To learn more, visit 3play.com or our social pages.
Are you from California, Illinois, New York, Georgia, or any of the other 39 states that charge state income tax? Does your state claim you owe them any amount of back taxes? Or have you not filed in years? Is your heart pounding because you know they're wrong or you just don't have the money? Don't fight the state income tax board alone. The Tax Doctor is here to help you. The state is much more aggressive than the IRS in collecting taxes. They have the power to take your home, your car, your drivers and business licenses, even garnish your wages, freeze your bank accounts, and go after your spouse. Solve all your income tax problems permanently and keep more of your hard-earned money. Make this 100% guaranteed risk-free call right now.
800-281-0266. 800-281-0266. 800-281-0266. That's 800-281-0266.
All across the country, people are coming together to speed up what we can learn about health. The All of Us Research Program is calling on 1 million people to join us as we try to change the future of health. For your family, for future generations, for all of us. Visit joinallofus.org and find out how you can become one in a million.
See our schedule, check our helpful links, or stream us anywhere, all at NorthIdahoRadio.com.
All right, we are back. I'm your host, Bob Witte. It's North Idaho Thursday, and we go to the phone with a guy that we've become very well acquainted with in the last 4 or 5 months. Dr. Hans Hurt from Bonner General Health is with us. Hans, how are you?
I'm doing good, Bob. How are you today?
I'm fine, thank you. It's great to have you back on. Well, on one hand, it's good to have you back on the show so we can talk. On the other hand, kind of getting back into this local COVID coverage here lately because of an uptick in confirmed cases in our area. Just one new one since yesterday. I just looked at the Panhandle Health District website. But what do you attribute this to? You know, at first, the first few weeks and month we were into this, we didn't really know what to expect here in Bonner and Boundary County. Would it become like Seattle and then eventually New York? But as things were very light here in the last month, they've gone from just a handful of cases now up to 33. Do you think it's because of people coming to town, or is it something that's happening inside the community, or what are your thoughts?
So that's a great question, Bob. And what we saw kind of originally with the cases that we were having, that first, I think, about seven that we had kind of over the first the first time period where we were watching close, there was a lot of people who had traveled during that time period and then came back, or they had a friend or a family member that had traveled and came back, and that's how the infections were. This spread over this last week has been a bit different. Some of the original, there's some cases in the, I guess, in the, when did I go? That was in the end of May. We had another 4 or 5 cases in the end of May. And those were people that were coming back, coming up to the area, traveling from away again and coming back. Either, you know, people who had traveled to visit friends or people coming to second homes. And now what we've seen in this last bit, that this has been more local people that have just been here locally. There's been less travel involved. Some people had traveled more within the state down to Boise or, maybe down the Spokane area, but it was people that had lived here more. So definitely more of a community spread. It sounds like there was more involvement with some of the local businesses and stuff that way. That's where we've seen some close. So it's been a very different spread than what we saw initially, which shows that it is more in the community now. And that's where a lot of these positive tests are coming back for, and why, people are having a big desire to come in and get tested, because they know somebody who is either positive and were exposed, or they're more concerned about it for where either they worked or what their symptoms are.
Yeah, I think that you were right. The general public around here, when there was only 7 to 8 or 9 positive tests over a period of time, thinking, well, it's not here in North Idaho, so we're doing all right, and going back to having house parties, and of course, with businesses opening, which we need to do, obviously, being the tourist town that we are, but people just, not wearing masks and not distancing, just thinking, hey, we're immune to this, especially younger people, thinking that, I'm young, I'm healthy, I'm not going to get sick. But then we're seeing more and more of the 19 to 39 year olds contracting it. So that is really happening. And so people need, hopefully people through all this have known someone who has gotten through it and said, yeah, I got it at a party or I got it at a barbecue. So you just need to still be very conscious of those things, correct?
Yeah, I think now more so than ever. Mm-hmm. Part of it too is like we do have a lot of people that are coming into town vacationing, which is part of it. But too, it's like these are a lot of local people that were infected. They're your friend from yoga. They're your friend from the restaurant. Mm-hmm. They're, your neighbor around the street now that, had their kid exposed, and they're exposed. And remember all these delays and symptoms. There's been a lot of people that want to come in and get tested because they've been exposed. But we have to remember, too, it's like just because you've been exposed doesn't mean that you're going to develop symptoms or even a positive test for a number of days. Some of the earlier studies had said that the average time where people would test positive is, after about 5 days of exposure.
Okay.
So there's no need for people to run in if they've been exposed the night before to try and get tested. The thing to do is that we need to kind of change our mindset and be a little more restrictive in our activities again. We should be dealing with a little smaller circle of friends and, being cautious about how big of the groups we're having over for inside dinner parties and things like that, and try and keep most of those meetings outside. When we look at the rate of spread for being inside versus outside, there was one article done by a guy out of one of kind of Northeastern universities. He used a PhD up there, and he had looked at all these exposure patterns. In about 0.3% of them, he said, had been contracted outside or, when people are outdoors. Hmm. So that rate of spread for being outdoors drops off precipitously. Not saying it can't happen, but it's much less likely than when people are in a closed area for a prolonged period of time.
Yeah, good point, and I'm glad that you brought up about if you were exposed, say you're at a party, and then the next day you found out that somebody got their test back and they have tested positive, don't rush in to your doctor or BGH to get tested that day, because you should wait, as you said, 4 or 5 days. During that time when you're waiting, should you go back to work?
So those are the time periods where people need to, basically quarantine themselves. That's the average time period where people will test positive. So that's the average, right? The range is going to be from probably 3 to 11 days where people will test positive. And some people will test negative early on if they go in too soon because they don't have the viral load that we can detect. So waiting for at least 5 days is going to be really key. And during that 5 day period, people are going to need to self-quarantine because they could start, getting enough virus going with the variation that's out there, where they could start transmitting it. So it is really important that people understand and look at what those CDC guidelines are for quarantining. It's a lot of what we were talking about before with using grocery pickup or having friends drop off groceries, not going to work, not going to church, not going to meetings with friends. It's really just kind of isolating yourself and keeping, 6 to 12 feet of distance and wearing a mask if you're going to be outside with a walk for somebody, and you have been exposed, putting that mask on is going to be key. Masks do a great job at limiting exposure. There have been people who have been positive and had mild symptoms and didn't realize it, but were wearing masks, and their transmission rate to others just is extremely small. So they help a ton.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't think people around here really got the mask thing in the first few months because hardly anybody was wearing them. I've noticed I went to the Super One this morning and a lot more people wearing masks than they were just even a week or 2 weeks ago, and mostly locals. But I have noticed a lot of people, tourists, coming to Sandpoint thinking everything's just safe in North Idaho, so they're not. And it's a little scary to me, especially in close quarters where there's large gatherings of people.
Yeah, it is, especially indoors, just with that air not circulating. And, you know, there's a lot of people that go through the grocery store. You know, it's not only things they touch, but things that we end up touching, whether, you know, it's a little bit of the countertop. And masks help protect those surfaces too, right? Because they keep the droplets from falling onto all those things. So the masks serve a really good purpose. And that's why there's some states that are requiring them out in public places, right?
Yeah.
That's, I think, where Washington, Oregon, California have put on stricter things that way.
Moscow, Idaho.
Moscow as the city did that, huh?
Yeah, they did it just yesterday afternoon.
That is great. And, I mean, those are things that I think in public places where you're going to be within people within 6 feet, I think that would be great to see more local regulation on that. It's a tough thing here in northern Idaho, but since our state and federal government's not really pushing for some of these stricter policies, it's going to be left up to people individually to make the right decision, and smaller local or county governments to really encourage that.
Yeah, you know, like you're saying, we just need to be smart, and everybody wants all of our businesses to stay open. And to do that, we just have to be smart about this and not let things get out of control like is happening in parts of California right now. I think it was 19 counties went back to stage one yesterday. Ooh. And we can't afford that. Nobody wants that.
No,
here.
Yeah, nobody wants to do that. That's going to hurt our local businesses way more than if everybody wears a mask. A mask literally has like almost no economic like negative effect, right? Mm-hmm. If you put a mask on and then you can still do a lot of things. Granted, what's going to be tough is, you know, restaurants and bars, it's tough to eat through a mask. So
yeah.
You do need to take it off for that. But that's where finding those tables that are spaced out, and then also outside, if, you know, you feel you have to go out to eat and don't want to do pickup and eat out on your porch, that's always another good option. I also think it's a great thing to see some of the local restaurants are wearing masks in there and having the servers wear masks and having their cooks wear masks. That's really encouraging. And those are the restaurants that, you know, that I'm trying to support.
Sure.
By either eating outside or taking carry out is more what we're doing. But to some of the restaurants that aren't doing that, those are places that I don't really feel comfortable going back to right now. So it's encouraging to see that some of the restaurants are making that transition. I hope to see more do that.
Yeah, and of course, we want to support those restaurants. We want to support all the local businesses that we can. And just keep in mind, folks, when you do go out to eat or go to a store, is to not be rude. The rules and regulations in place are not placed by that little girl working in that restaurant who's trying to seat you, and she can only seat six at a table. If you're a party of 12, it's going to be two tables. It's not her opinion. It's just the way it is. So just give everybody a break, and we'll get through a busy weekend like this weekend, and it's going to be the rest of the summer. Like I said, because we just want to keep things open and flowing here in Sandpoint and Bonner's Ferry. Speaking of flowing at BGH itself, have you guys been busier than normal in the last few weeks?
You know, our numbers have picked up to be more consistent with like usual summer days where we're seeing more of a steady flow. We've got everybody who trips and falls and gets their hand cut on working with the lawnmower and doing all those normal things. So our numbers have come back up quite a bit. There's still the standard ebb and flow that we see. In addition to that, there's been all of the kind of COVID testing that's getting done, which also makes things a lot busier. So things are continuing to adjust daily with the COVID testing, and that's getting to be a kind of a more efficient system with needing to do more send-out tests again, just with how the supply chain is ebbing and flowing. So I encourage people to be be patient. We're trying our best to get tests done as fast as we can and get as many people tested as want to get tested. But there's going to be changes that kind of every day and every week as far as what's available for supply. If mm-hmm. we don't have the tests to test everybody who's just been exposed or is asymptomatic, because we have sick people that are coming into hospital and we need to really test those, then there's going to be changes kind of on a day-to-day basis. So a lot of those things are out of control, out of our control, because we've put in orders for more supplies, but there's a lot of people ordering supplies for COVID testing right now, and we're not always at the top of the list.
Yeah, as opposed to, you know, other places that have hundreds, if not thousands, of cases. One last time, Dr. Hurt, for people who are feeling symptoms and thinking that, gosh, maybe I should get tested. I've got this fever. I can't kick this flu or whatever. What is the procedure to get approval to get to the hospital and get your test done?
So a good thing to do is, you can always contact the Panhandle Health. They have a hotline where they can help answer questions. They can kind of help, you know, risk stratify you and decide what your risk level is. And then they can also help get that order in. And then there's, during certain days of the week, which is fluctuating right now, and it's going to fluctuate over the holiday too, we're trying to do like outpatient kind of drive-through testing that's just focused on COVID testing for people who have, you know, either mild symptoms or had an exposure and things that way. So calling the Panhandle Health or calling your primary care office is a great way to do that. And then they should be aware of the system that's happening that day, because things are going to continually change. And then the hospital also has a COVID hotline that you can call and see what the current situation is for what tests are available and who we're able to currently test. And then they'll walk you through what's going on that day, because it is changing day by day. So if I tell you one thing today, it's probably going to change by the time you have symptoms in another 3 to 4 days, and I wouldn't want to mislead you.
Yeah, absolutely. Dr. Hans Hurt from Bonner General Health, thank you so much for taking time on your day off, I believe, to join us once again on the show, and hope you and your family have a great 4th of July weekend, and stay healthy out there.
Thanks. You too, Bob. All hopefully right. We see more masks over the weekend as we see everybody busy out around enjoying the 4th.
All right. Dr. Hurt, thank you. And we are going to take our number two break. When we come back, switching gears a little bit, taking a look at Sandpoint High School with Assistant Principal Athletic Director Chris Knowles with us, taking a look at what school might look like this fall as far as we know right now, and especially emphasis on activities and athletics and what we may be faced with. We'll just have to wait and see. We'll be right back.
Bonner's Ferry Glass has long been the place to go for a multitude of services, including rock chip repair or windshield replacement and lock and key services. Plus, you'll always find a staff of trained professionals at Bonner's Ferry Glass. If you need commercial and or residential doors, windows, garage doors, screen window and door repair, or even custom glass cutting for tabletops or picture frames, they do it all at Bonner's Ferry Glass on the South Hill in Bonner's Ferry.
Building a new deck has never been easier. Badger Building Center carries the industry's best composite decking brands, including TimberTech, Trex, Moisture Shield, and Fiberon. Starting at only $179 per lineal foot, Badger has the biggest selection of decking that will fit almost any budget. Badger's composite decking comes with a 25-year warranty, tons of color options, and is extremely low maintenance. Call for your free composite decking quote today. Badger Building Center in Sago, Post Falls, Bonner's Ferry, and Kalispell, or online at badgerbuilding.com.
By now, you've probably heard people around town saying good things about North Idaho Collision Repair Center, but you may not know exactly where they're located. You can find them at 148 David Thompson Drive, which is about a mile and a half north of Bonner's Ferry. Just go to the top of the North Hill and take the next left after the landfill, right by the Homestead Coffee Shop. You'll find North Idaho Collision Repair Center directly across from Bear Auto. If you haven't stopped in before, you're in for a real treat as you learn more about their state-of-the-art collision center. North Idaho Collision Repair Center is equipped with a Blotherm booth and is the home of the most modern paint facility within 1,000 miles. They also have a frame straightening machine that will get the job done with laser accuracy, and their factory trained and ICAR certified technicians will restore your vehicle to pre-accident condition. You can find them at 148 David Thompson Drive. Make the trip just a mile and a half north of Bonner's Ferry today and discover a local gem, North Idaho Collision Repair Center.
Hi, it's Tori DeVito. In every family, small conversations can make a big impact. I grew up on tour with my parents. Kind of different, but we bonded over music just like other families do over sports, camping, or other interests. And we talked. Little everyday conversations from silly to serious that built a foundation over time. Honest conversations, like when my dad shared his experiences as an alcoholic.
Your honesty about that part of your life gave me a sense of integrity that I wanted to uphold in my own life. And I was so grateful that you and Mom had become these sober, stable people who were always there for me.
I wanted you to know from someone who's been in recovery more than 30 years now that hard work is what creates success, not alcohol or other drugs, whether it's music or anything else. I said it a lot, and I'm glad you took it to heart.
Talk, they hear you. For more information about talking with your kids about underage use of alcohol and other drugs, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
North Idaho's Radio, 97.1 FM.
All right, we are back, North Idaho, Thursday here on KBFI and KSBT. I'm your host, Bob Witte, and we are joined by Sanpon High School Assistant Principal Activities and Athletic Director, Chris Knowles. Chris, how are you?
Doing great. Thanks again for having me, Bob.
I know you've been trying to enjoy your summer and your family as much as you can.
Yeah, a little bit. It's good to get some time with the family and get outside.
Yeah, that's good stuff, but you're back now. I know you're back in the office this week, and you know, people just speculate. I mean, no one knows what's going on with this whole virus situation. We know how it affected spring sports and spring school. Talk so far on what may be happening, what we might be looking at Sanpon High School as a school this fall.
Right, yeah, and that's kind of the million-dollar question. You know, it doesn't matter where I go, if I'm down in Coeur d'Alene or Bonner's Ferry or here, what are we going to do? We're all kind of playing the wait-and-see game a little bit with the Idaho State Board of Education. They were supposed to come out with some recommendations for schools on the 30th of June. They didn't do that. They pushed that deadline back to the 8th of July. You know, so we'll know more about what those recommendations could be. If I'm guessing, it's going to be pretty much a lot of local control. What the virus looks like maybe in Bonner County or Sanpon is going to be different than what it looks like in Blaine County or Sun Valley. So we're going to have some control over what we do. As far as activities go, we're going full steam ahead. You know, our kids are in the weight room. Our basketball and volleyball programs and soccer programs are putting the time in. We're planning for a full-scale fall. You know, that could change it at the drop of a hat. You know, obviously in the last week or so, we've seen a surge in the virus spreading a little bit. Summer activities in close communities, Coeur d'Alene, for example, have been put on hold. So, you know, the summer programs at Lake City and Coeur d'Alene are canceled for 2 weeks. They're going to try and get back to it after the 4th of July.
Well, they have hundreds of confirmed cases in Kootenai County as opposed to here, 33.
Exactly. And those two cancellations were based upon positive tests inside their activities programs.
Oh, gotcha.
So, you know, the prudent and right thing to do on their part, but we're not there. So what we may be able to do could look different than other communities. You know, I got this question this morning, and it was a legitimate question. You know, would we play a regional schedule or just regional teams if we were unable to have...
That's what we've been talking about around
here. And the answer is absolutely. You know, if the state cancels a state tournament, but they allow us to play, you know, 15 volleyball games, but we just have to play Lake City, Coeur d'Alene, Post Falls, St. Mary's, whoever it is.
Bonner's Ferry,
we're doing it. You know, we're going to do the best we can, you know, in a safe environment. Now, if the health department comes in and says, shuts us down and says we're out, then we're out. But, you know, it's going to look different. I don't know what it will look like as far as crowds, as far as social distancing. You know, I know a lot of your listeners have been to a lot of our games, and, you know, you get a fall Friday night football game and both teams are good. I mean, people are packed in there. And I hope that we can do that. I don't know that we'll be able to, but we're going full steam and we're staying positive.
It's good. It's a very good answer. I got a text just a minute ago from a bus driver in our school system wondering any thought on what the bus situation might be like if school is open this fall.
Right. You know, and I get there's lots of different scenarios as far as the busing will go. Obviously, you got to get kids to school. I don't know if that looks like multiple routes. You know, there's a possibility that school doesn't look exactly the same, you know, and I'm not saying this is what will happen, but if they impose social distancing on, you know, only having, say, 15 kids in a classroom where each classroom typically has 20 to 25, you know, you're not going to be able to do that in one shift of school.
No.
So, you know, busing could look different that way.
And you can't ask the teachers to work from 5 a.m. to 8 p.m.
And so, I don't know. As far as busing goes, I think one thing, and I don't, Tom would be the better person for to ask as far as school goes, as far as activities go. You know, we've already kind of looked into, you know, doing some self-transport type scenarios where parents take them to games or, you know, they, so we're not putting, you know, in the words of my wife, we're not creating a Petri dish on a bus, you know, and so I don't know what that'll look like. It, you know, a lot of the recommendation is going to come from the health department on that, but it's going to look different. So I don't, I didn't answer his question, but you know, we're working on it for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you'd mentioned that, you know, the Petri dish thing. Well, first of all, I want to say when you said it be under local control, I'm very proud of our Governor Little and the way that he's handled this whole situation. And then unlike some most states, he is turning it over to local control, saying, well, this is up to each county or this is up to each health district or this is up to a school district, which makes perfect sense.
Yeah, it makes sense for us.
Yeah.
The unique situation that we get put in different than say Boise or, you know, a lot of places we're right up here in the panhandle. So if you look in the activity schedule, you know, our fall activities programs play Washington schools, Montana schools. We've got a Canadian school coming down. I mean, we play a lot of different schools in a lot of different states. So what happens in Washington affects our activity schedule here. You know, is the border going to be open for Raymond to come down and play football?
No, I
really don't know. They're working on it. We're trying to figure out that it's an essential travel, you know, but I don't know what that'll look like. So I'm
the first football team smuggled into the United States.
It'd be a good story, wouldn't it, Bob? But, you know, I'm with you. I appreciate the local control and being able to make decisions based upon what's best for our community. But we also have that trickle down effect of being, you know, having so much interaction with other states.
Yeah. And I know that a lot of people don't appreciate a huge part of what athletics directors are faced with is scheduling.
Oh, yeah.
And it's, you have so many factors, you know, there's the timing factors that, okay, with that school, there's, can we get buses? Just there's a million things. And then you get, you know, rain cancellations and things like that. So going into this fall, you must be a little terrified as far as the scheduling.
I've been terrified since April, and I knew what's happening right now. And just to be completely frank and honest is we've lost some games already based upon, you know, there's a 5% holdback on school district budgets going into next year. Some school districts are trickling that right into their activities budgets, and I've already had schools say we can't honor the commitments that we made. They just don't have the funding to do so. So fulfilling a full schedule is always our goal. I think we do a really good job of getting there. This fall is going to be different.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's absolutely going to be different. Football is going to take a bye, you know, and we'd kind of made that decision prior to COVID. But even with this scenario, there's no way we could have filled that game. You know, soccer, volleyball, they're all sitting a single game shy of a full schedule right now because they lost some games based upon schools not being able to travel.
Well, you're going to lose the Spokane schools, probably.
Well, as of right now, we're still a go. I talked to an AD yesterday. They're planning on it, but they're, I don't have my crystal ball here, but at the end of the day, you're probably right. We're probably going to lose some of those Washington schools. So we have an agreement inside of our conference, and nothing's been put on paper. We don't know how this will look yet. We'll scramble if we get there. But all the Inland Empire League schools in all their fall sports, I believe with the exception of boys soccer, play Washington schools.
Mm-hmm.
The only reason boys soccer doesn't play Washington schools is because they play soccer in the spring and we play it in the fall. If we lose those Washington games, we're going to play all the local schools, all the Inland Empire schools in non-league contests. So that way we will have games available if it works out, you know, on dates and times and places and all that fun stuff. So, you know, we are in full go mode. Contingency A, B, C, and D have all been, you know, worked through. we're probably going to get to E and F, you know. Yeah. So
E and F point one, point two.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah. It's going to be a different fall. You know, I always we talk all the time. I always go back to let's try and do what's best for kids and do what's best for our community. And yeah. And you know, to make those decisions, it's a lot of factors going into that.
Yeah.
So and we do to your point, we are. Oftentimes, you know, at the liberty of other schools being able to play us and them for us as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a joint effort. And thankfully, you know, regional administrators, regional principals and athletic directors, we're all in the same boat here. And so everybody's been great to work with.
Yeah, absolutely. We need to take our final break, get that out of the way. If you could stick around, I got a couple more questions, try to look at the bright side of things.
Yeah,
and we'll be right back with Sandpoint High School Athletic Director Chris Knowles. So stick around.
It's time for the big booms. Look for Jill's Fireworks in Bonners Ferry at the parking lot of Kootenai River Inn, and Heritage Sales is located 5 miles north of Bonners. Both are open every day from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. right up to and including the 4th of July. At Jill's and Heritage, you'll find the best selection of fireworks in North Idaho. While you're there, enter your name to win a $450 fireworks gift certificate along with many other prizes. Winners' names will be drawn on July 3rd at 8 p.m. Stop in today. Jill's Fireworks and Heritage Sales, Bonners Ferry.
Woods Hay and Grain is your source for a wide selection of fresh and locally grown livestock and animal feed. They offer the convenience of buying in bulk, and they are now offering some of their great products in pellets or crumbles. Right now, when you buy a bag of Mega Layer, you can get a second bag of pellets or crumbles for 50% off. That's right, buy one, get one for 50% off. For more information, visit Woods Hay and Grain on Facebook or stop by their feed store just 5 miles north of Ponderay on Highway 95. Woods Hay and Grain.
When it's 3 p.m., Jess and Renee both want an afternoon treat. So they go to McDonald's for icy cool frozen drinks and Minute Maid slushies. Only Jess's favorite is frozen Coke, while Renee's is pink lemonade slushy. But it's cool. They respect each other's choice. It's not just a drink. It's a McDonald's drink.
Make your summer pop with a Minute Maid slushy, frozen Coke, or frozen Fanta, like wild cherry and blue raspberry. Starting at $1.59. Prices and participation may vary. Limited time only.
Today, this breakfast isn't just breakfast. It might be the first McDonald's breakfast you're having at McDonald's again. This lunch might be a weekly tradition you hadn't had in weeks. And this dinner might be the first one you bought for not just you in a while. Whatever this order is for you, McDonald's will be here to take it.
Get back to your favorites on the buy one, get one for a dollar menu. Mix and match classics like a McChicken or a four-piece chicken McNuggets. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Valid for item of equal or lesser value.
All right, crew, let's get her dug.
Honey, you want to give me a hand? I'm planting that tree, remember?
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. You must call 811 at least 2 to 3 business days before any digging project, so you can avoid hitting our essential buried utilities. This includes natural gas and petroleum pipelines, electric, communication cables, and water and sewer lines. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811. Brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
97.1 FM, 1450 KBFI, and 1400 KSPT.
All right, we are back. Our final segment here for today and for this week. I'm calling it in 10 minutes. I'm calling it the weekend. As far as Bob Whitty's concerned, we're here with Sandpoint High School Athletic Director Chris Knowles. And Chris, you know, we're talking about what school might look like, what the school buses might look like this fall, and of course, sports. And we were just talking during the break as if the possibility, you know, some sports really impossible to social distance. Football, for example, the football locker room scene, whereas a sport like cross country, Not so much. It's, you know, it's outside, which Dr. Hans Hurt was just telling us is the safer place to be during all of this. Is there a chance that in Idaho we'll look at it as sport by sport?
You know, I do think there's a chance of that. If you look at the example that's been set by the WIAA in Washington, they are going to treat certain sports as more of a contact, close distanced activity versus others. You know, reading kind of their blueprint, I don't know how that looks. You know, I don't know how they're going to treat them different, but they are saying that certain sports are a higher risk sport than others. So I'm going to kind of play the wait and see game a little bit with that. And we have some contingencies in place if that comes. But I think it's a possibility for sure.
Any idea what that would look like? Is it a which sport? Or
yeah, I don't know.
It'd be a good year to put golf in the fall.
Yeah, I would love that personally, but I don't know. Obviously, there are certain sports that have more kids. And so, you know, use the football example. If you've got, you know, 40 or 50 kids suiting up for a Friday night game, stuffing into a locker room, is that a real safe environment versus, you know, let's say cross countries out socially distanced prior to their race, you know? So we're going to have to really look into how that works, you know, and get some real strict guidelines. I know that what our coaches are doing currently with sanitation, with cleaning the weight room, with cleaning, you know, the gym, the athletic facilities would obviously be in place, you know, but as far as actually playing the game, you know, I know there are people that have talked about, you know, we're only going to compete with masks on. You know, I don't know how you do that.
No.
You know, but, you know, that may be a suggestion out there at some point. So it's going to be interesting, I to say the least.
Yeah, and also interesting just as a we're both sports fans in general, getting away from high school for a moment. What do you think about, you know, Major League Baseball has this 50, 60-game schedule coming up. Several players are testing positive. Yeah. Same with the NBA is trying to do a season. Several players tested positive. Football is probably the worst as far as tests coming back, and they're trying to get into training camp. Do you think we're going to see fall professional sports?
I do, and I actually was having this conversation yesterday. I absolutely do, and I think it has to do with television revenue.
Oh, it's all about money, yeah.
I mean, you know, there's not going to be a fan in those stands, but the major leagues and the NBA, I mean, the NBA wants to play a finals this year, you know, and that's big television revenue. If you look at, you know, the dollars that were generated in the golf match between Tiger Woods and all those guys.
Phil Mickelson.
I think you can magnify that.
Tom Brady should not have been playing in that, by the way.
Brady hit the best shot in that whole thing, though.
One shot.
One shot.
But if he's an 8 handicap, I'm a 4.
I agree with you on that one. But, yeah, I do think we're going to see some professional sports. I think we're going to see college sports on a limited basis. You know, I don't think you're going to see or, you know, Ohio State and Michigan in the horseshoe with 100,000 people.
Yeah.
I don't think you're going to see that. I think you're going to see it in a limited television-based
But that
scenario.
Is college football.
Tailgate, the environment,
the whole
thing. Pageantry.
Yeah.
You know, Notre Dame Stadium, Touchdown Jesus.
I mean, yeah.
You know, I just – the games will go on in a limited fashion. What's going to be really interesting, the big schools are going to do what they do, but the smaller schools are going to be reducing. I mean, we were just talking about Eastern Washington University. I mean, we happen to have a couple of our athletes, three of our athletes actually over there right now. And I'm talking to one of them, you know, it's a scary time, you know, just with the lack of funding and how college athletics are going to look.
Yeah, and you see a school using the example of Eastern, how dependent they were on the revenue from athletics, and their teachers there have been warning for the last several years, like, we can't be so dependent on our football team being good.
Right.
But they're finding out now that that's hurting.
Especially at that mid-major level, you know. I think Oregon can do different things than Eastern Washington
sure.
can do, you know. So it's a gamble for sure when you put all your chips on activities or athletics, and then you're good, the trickle-down comes and it helps everybody. But when that crisis comes and the revenue's not coming in, then the trickle-down does happen.
So. The other thing that's starting to happen in professional sports, there have been 3 or 4 baseball players that said, okay, the team's coming back, but my wife says no.
And I think you're going to see more and more of that. I think you're going to see that in every single sport. And you may see, you know, a big namer, you know, and I'm not saying he will do this, but you may see a LeBron James or somebody like that and just go, you know what, I'm not going to risk it.
Yeah.
You know, until
he's got all the money in the world.
You know, I think you may see that.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting for sure. I think baseball could pull it out. They proved in, was it Korea, where they're playing baseball in front of, you know, cardboard fans and people are watching it on TV. Yeah. I would watch baseball if it were on TV.
I don't know about you, Bob, but I'm starving for something.
Yeah.
To, you know, I love March Madness, obviously, and I college football is one of my favorite things in the world to watch on TV, or the World Cup or whatever it is. And I mean, I'm tired of flipping through the History Channel.
It's so weird watching these golf tournaments on that have been going on for the last month, and the guy hits a great shot on the 17th hole, and it's just dead, and he's kind of looking around like, "Did anybody see that? It's the best shot of my life." Yeah, and it's been really strange, but I think there's probably more people watching golf than normally would because it's the only thing on.
Yep,
no and we're getting tired of watching the 1997 World Series over and over things like that. Yeah. Switching gears again, back to more local, we were also talking during the first break about Memorial Field, and I haven't been following this online or anything, but it looks like they're getting really close to being turfed.
They are. I drove by it actually on the way here. I've been by it a couple times this week and to take a tour next Tuesday. You know, had to go to a field allocation meeting. Was it yesterday? We are, you know, a lucky community in so many ways. That facility, you know, you think about some of the best facilities in our region, and then that facility is going to be about three steps ahead of them. It's going to be absolutely phenomenal. I don't know their timeline, if they're ahead or behind or whatever it is.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Yeah.
I know it's going to be ready when our activities are ready to get out there. And I'm just really, really excited for our athletes to get on there. It's a beaut. I mean, it is an absolute beautiful facility. And I think you know, all the work that the community did to help us get that, but also being able to add a softball field down there, I think is going to make a huge difference for our activities this spring. But it's a phenomenal, phenomenal facility. I can't wait to see it when that turf goes down.
So speaking of the which is really cool that they have that and they can play it in inclement weather. Will the girls' softball field now, back behind the middle school, just become a practice facility?
No, we're still going to have to, because a lot of times in the spring we play baseball and softball on the same days. So we're still going to have to kind of alternate. Say softball plays their doubleheader, their first doubleheader against Lakeland at Memorial. Then the next time we play a doubleheader against them, they're going to have to play at the high school, and baseball will play down here. So it, yeah, absolutely will be a practice facility. They'll use it for that, but it'll still be a game facility because the way the league schedules is softball and baseball plays at the same in the same town. Now we might be able to flip that. I might be able to create some agreements with local schools so they always play at Memorial. But, you know, and those are kind of the logistics that we're working through currently. They're going to get out there as much as they can get out there,
yeah,
for sure.
Absolutely. Just one more question. We have about a minute and a half. Is there a timeline set as far as back to your hat with the athletic director of when you have to make a call on fall sports? Do you have a timeline scenario?
No, not at this point. I mean, it could literally be each week is a different call.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm not going to make any decision on what SHS Activities does moving forward without the guidance of the Idaho High School Activities Association and Tom Albertson, our local superintendent. But no, there's no timeline on that. You know, certainly we're taking it case by case. If we get a positive test, we'll have to shut it down and we'll have to do some things. But there's no dead set timeline on what we're going to do. So, and I really think we're going to be in a scenario where it is week by week.
So right now, as you talked about Lake City and Coeur d'Alene having to shut down their summer activities, Sandpoint High School activities are full swing.
Yeah, we're full swing as of right now.
Had a volleyball coach just walked by us a minute ago and her hair's all wet, so I know they're going at it.
Yeah, I love it. Absolutely. So,
yeah, so just going as if everything's going to be hunky-dory.
Yep. As of today.
And we can, yeah, and what's the same thing Dr. Hurt said on the first segment, is like, yeah, our profession, we're doing it day by day, week by week, is as far as we can look out, because
we're in the same boat for sure.
Yeah, I think the whole world is right now. Absolutely. Chris Knowles, thanks for joining us today. I know it's tough to take some of these questions, but
it's all good, and I thank you for everything you do, Bob. We appreciate you.
Oh, no problem. Yeah, we had a great Bulldog Bench tournament
last
week.
I was actually doing some family fishing.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you all about the financial end of that when we get off here. Now football's putting together a tournament at the Idaho Club as well. Anyway, Chris, thanks for joining us. For Derek, our engineer, that's it for us for this week. Have a great 4th of July, everybody. Till next week, I'm Bob Witte, and we'll see you later.
2246CU, 1450KBFI, Bonners Ferry, 1400KSPT, Sandpoint, a Blue Sky Broadcasting radio station.
From ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The majority of states around the country.